my fan friends. Welcome back to Destination Discourse. I'm your host, Stuart Butler, and I'm joined today by the guy that's grinning really big. I was going to break the fourth wall a little bit. I was going to say the likable, the lovely, the lollygagging Adam Stoker, because in another episode that we recorded before this, but may probably publish after this, I used M alliteration, but this one I was going L. But I want to know why you're grinning so big. What is that all about?
Well, part of the reason I'm grinning so big is because obviously you and I talk for a moment before we hit record, and yeah. I'm just kind of chuckling at our entire conversation before we hit record. And so, yeah I'm not going to share the entire conversation with everybody, but you definitely
not safe
got
for
me
work,
laughing.
Let's say. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah. Well, that's good, man. I tell you, it's a Friday afternoon. We're recording this. I am spent. So I'm going to just let you do the most of the talking today. And then I'm just going to probably poke holes in it and make fun of you. Does that sound good?
It's going to
And
be
how
nice
is that
to
different
get a
than
word
any
in.
other episode?
Yeah. It's going to be really nice to get a word in.
That's pretty good. That might be the first time you genuinely made me laugh on this show in 60 odd episodes.
So hold on. You've been faking it for our listeners this whole time?
Yeah. Of course.
Wow.
It's all a performance, right? Yeah, of
okay.
course.
We just got a little window into Stuart's authenticity. This is great.
Yeah. Master manipulated me, you know. I'm totally. This is all a facade. It's all for the audience. But everything we do is really for the Desties. So let's sort of jump into the show. This is actually, I'm genuinely excited about this episode. I think, you know, obviously we first connected through your other podcast, the Destination Marketing Podcast. And I started listening to that when I came into the industry, and we struck up a friendship. I put in quotation marks after that, and in a business relationship. And you've done this for a while, where every year you do a episode where it's sort of like your New Year's resolution slash prediction slash where you're going to be focused over the next 12 months. And so you just published that on Destination Marketing Podcast. We're not going to just regurgitate that. Like, we're going to do what we do on the show, which is sort of pick at it a little bit and debate it a little bit, and we'll probably only do a handful of what you did. So if someone wants to go listen to that full episode, they should, because there's more on there than we're going to talk about. But I genuinely, this is a rare compliment. I'm excited to do this episode, because I did enjoy listening to that episode a lot. So I thought you did a good job.
Wow. Thank you. Of course, based on the moment we had before what you just said, I do have questions about how authentic the compliment you just gave me is, but if it's authentic, I do absolutely appreciate it.
Well, I did say genuine. So either that's like doubling down on being dishonest and Machiavellian, or I actually mean it. So we'll let you be the judge. I guess you could use how I respond to some of these as the litmus test, if you will.
There we go.
So we'll see.
That's how we'll find out.
All right, man. Well, before we do jump
there we
into
go.
That. It is that greatest moment in all of entertainment. It's time for Stu's News.
It is. What you
need, it's Stu's News. Galaxy, Stu's. I like the head bombing you got
going on. I'm feeling, you know what? I'm energized on this Friday afternoon. Do
I?
Yeah, I'm feeling good.
Warping new indeed. So,
yes.
Adam, you brought this one to me. You sent me an email earlier about this, and it's go ahead. I'll let you handle it.
Yeah, I actually just wanted to share some news from a friend of the show, somebody who's been on the show before, and I saw that she launched something that got me really excited. So I'm going to take everybody on a little walk back in time here, first of all. So
are you going to do the Wayne's World thing that I did when I did a walk? Oh, no, mine was a jump into the future. Yours is a time going back in time. Maybe yours is more like Austin Powers. You do it that way instead.
See, this is the problem, and then this really shows the age gap between us, right? That I don't remember the sound that happened. I remember Austin Powers. I watched Austin Powers. I don't remember the exact sound when he would go back in time.
That's a massive age gap of a couple of years, I know. But you go right ahead.
So Kristen Reynolds, all of us remember when Kristen was at Discover Long Island. One of the most notable things that she did at Discover Long Island was the Long Island Tea podcast. And Kristen and I actually became friends because of the work that she did on that podcast. And I, at the time, also was really involved in helping Destination Start podcasts and things like that. So we became friends that way. And I figured it was probably coming when she moved from Long Island to Chicago. And I saw that this week they launched a podcast called All for the Love of Chicago. And with how high quality that show was in Long Island, they really impacted the stakeholder DMO dynamic through that podcast that they did in Long Island. I would expect the same thing is likely going to happen in Chicago. I'm just really excited for the Choose Chicago team. I know Lisa over there has worked really hard on this as well, and I think it's going to be a big success, and I'm excited to see what they come up with. So it just launched this week, and I'm definitely going to be checking it out.
That's great. It's a good shout out to really great Dusty. And one of the things that inspired me by the Long Island Tea podcast was that it wasn't salesy, right? It wasn't that traditional DMO podcast that everyone's tried, where it's just talking to stakeholders about the latest candy shop that just opened that no one cares about, and no one is going to, you're not going to build an audience other than the stakeholder you're talking to. And so she made it conversational. She made it relevant. She did what we try to do on this show and don't always succeed, which is make it entertaining, because with podcasts, you've got to remember that you're competing not with other DMOs, you're competing with all of entertainment in that medium, right? And so when people make a decision, whether they're commuting, whether they're cleaning, whether they're exercising, they get to choose who they're going to listen to, right? And you're competing against Joe Rogan and This American Life and My Favorite Murder and every podcast that people want to listen to. And so you got to bring value in the form of entertainment. And you've also got to bring value in terms of education or humor or something else as well. But we try to do that. But they were the first that I really saw that did that in the DMO space. We certainly try to emulate that with some of the podcasts we did at Visit Model Beach. But I'm genuinely looking forward to this. And I hope they continue that spirit of the Long Island Tea, where it's entertaining, it's conversational, you feel like you're part of a family, they're going to have to come up with some version of Desties, right? They're going to have their audience named at some point. But I'm excited about this. So remind everyone, what's the name of the podcast they're launching?
So it's called All for the Love of Chicago. And you can actually look at their recent LinkedIn post. But of course, if you search All for the Love of Chicago in their podcast platforms, you'll find the show.
That's great. That's great. And you guys, is Brand Revolt, are you still pretty involved with podcasts? I know you still do some in South Carolina and some other places, but are you still doing a handful?
Yeah, we're actually working on several new ones right now that we're really excited to launch this year. So it's not like the primary focus of our business or anything like that, but I still believe to this day every destination should have a podcast, and we really try to help any destination that reaches out to figure out how to launch that, whether it's consulting on the front end, fulfilling on the long term.
Oh, are you selling right now on our podcast?
Listen,
Is that what you're doing?
you put me in the position where I can talk about our services, boom. I snap right into it.
Yeah, I guess so. We'll blame me for you always be selling. It's okay. You guys are also working with us on a new podcast concept, so I'm excited to bake that a little more and launch that later this year as well. So that's great. Good job to Kristen and the whole team at True Chicago. That's pretty cool. All right, man. Let's jump into it. Let's jump into the topic at hand. So how do we want to do this? You just want to go through in the order you did it in your show, or you want to mix it up, or you just want to read out some of your resolutions and then we'll pick them apart?
May I mean, I spent a whole hour on this, so I'm definitely not going to go as like deep into each resolution as I did on my show, but maybe I'll just give you the gist of each resolution and why I feel like it should be a resolution for any destination out there listening. And then you can ask me some questions. We can decide where to go from there.
Well, you don't have to go as deep in on this show, because our audience is obviously way more sophisticated on that listens to this show versus your show, right? Like, obviously.
You put me in a difficult position here because
Yeah,
what you're
you're gonna
expecting me
pick
to
your favorite
do.
baby.
So I love all my children equally.
Oh, so your audience is your children now? Is that
No,
what
my
you're
shows are
saying?
my children.
Okay. Well, who do you love more out of the audiences? Is it the destination, or is it, I don't even know what you call your destination marketing people.
Every listener of every show is my friend.
Oh, world peace was just brought to you by Adam Stoker. I love it. I mean, let's jump in.
All right, let's do it. So, the number one New Year's resolution for me if I was a destination marketer, if I was running a DMO, would be you need to understand and embrace the new marketing equation that I think is going to lead to success for anybody that's marketing a destination. And that equation, framework, whatever you want to call it, is attention plus trust plus circumstances, which I did uncover on this show that I felt like something was missing, and it was circumstances that I felt like was missing, equals action. And if you can actually harness those three things, you get the attention first, the product you sell is trust. When the circumstances are right, they will take action. And I think that is much more accurate than, of course, you've criticized a lot on this show, the idea of a funnel, awareness, consideration, and purchase. I just don't believe, and especially after the conversation we had fairly recently with Emily Zertucci, the idea that we can control each phase of the funnel, we can't. And that's why circumstances is a critical piece of this. Attention is also so much more valuable than awareness, because there's so much out there right now. You have to actually get them to pay attention to you. So attention plus trust plus circumstances equals action.
So here's my challenge with this. Well, there's two challenges. One is we talked about this a little bit in another episode, and I don't know if that's coming out. That'll probably come out after this episode comes out. So I might be a little repetitive, but that's okay. But I get the attention thing 100%. Like, I love that. I think we probably that manifested on this show as well, where we started talking about attention versus awareness and the nuance between it. Trust 100%. I think that's the currency that we're trading in these days, and I think we need to make sure that DMOs are the trusted source of truth for our destination. I think that's an imperative for us to remain relevant. I think where it breaks down a little bit for me is this third piece of the wheel, because it's not something you're necessarily circumstances. Isn't what you control, right? It's you're talking about the opportunity that exists to strike while the iron's hot. So my challenge to you would be to workshop that a little bit and figure out, because it, like, what is it you can actually control? You can control what you do to make people trust you. You can control what you do to get their attention, but you can't control their circumstances. But what can you control, right? That's I think where I struggle with it a little bit.
Well, can I respond to that real quick? Because I actually think what you just outlined is an admission that all of us need to make to ourselves. And that's the fact that there are some things about getting someone to book a trip that you do not control. You don't control whether or not. Now, and I'll give you an example. Visit Myrtle Beach, right? You guys have
I heard
people
they're great.
come. What's that?
But I heard that Visit Myrtle Beach is great. I don't know where I heard that, but I did hear
You know what? In spite of their president, I think they do a really nice
that.
job. Yeah.
Nice.
So you guys, let's say there's a family that wants to come to Myrtle Beach. You've gotten their attention, right? And they trust that they're going to have a great experience in Myrtle Beach. PTO request gets denied. That's out of your control. You don't have the ability to change the circumstances there. And so much of marketing in general is making sure that you got somebody's attention and that they trust you. And then the buyer is in control of that last step. And you don't control the circumstances that decide whether or not they're going to book a trip for spring break or they're going to book a trip for fall break or whatever. And I think we actually have to acknowledge that we don't have control over that specific step. And that's part of the reason we've dug ourselves into a little bit of a hole with our stakeholders, is that we're actually going to our stakeholders and saying, we controlled this. We ran Google ads and they booked their trip, or we ran Facebook ads and they booked their trip. Did we control that, or are we taking credit for something that we actually didn't have the actual control of?
Yeah, and I think we're saying the same thing, right? And I don't know if control is the right word, or influence is probably a better word,
Sure.
right? Because the consumer is ultimately in control. We're just trying to influence. Some would say manipulate. We'll go with influence. But I think if we think more about what the opportunity is, right, the circumstances, right? Because the circumstances are the things you said, like the variables that you talked about, and it's also like how much money that they have and blah blah blah, right? There's infinite number of variables there that influence that. You can't really have a formula that you can predict the outcome unless you can have at least some measurement of the variables, right? And so I think to me, and I did talk about this on the other episode, which I think is coming out later, but I talked about how this reminds me a little bit of that analogy of content is king, customer experience is queen, and data is the crown jewels. And I think the data piece is like where I'd like you to explore a little bit, because I think what you're saying is, or what you may mean is, and I might be completely wrong here, is identifying what the opportunity is and striking with precision while the iron is hot, right? So knowing and recognizing that this person has the means and the desire to travel, let me hit it now, hit that opportunity now so that I maximize my chance of conversion.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
And this is where I think you and I may not be seeing this the same way. Let's just dissect the actual travel decision-making process a little bit, right? So especially in the new consumer behavior method where AI has now entered the mix, right? On how this decision happens in a lot of cases. How do you even know what are the destinations that you're choosing between? And I'm asking you
Are
that.
you asking?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I understand what you're asking.
How, if you're planning a trip, how do you know what are the destinations that are on the table that you're deciding whether or not to go to?
Well, they have to be destinations that I'm familiar with or at least been exposed to, right? That's what this is, the old funnel of awareness, right? I
Yeah.
have to be knowledgeable that it exists to even consider it. And I probably have to have a favorable perception of that destination, or at least know that there's a value proposition that lines up with my desired outcome, right? Okay, I'm traveling with my family. I've heard, or my belief is, this is a family-friendly destination, or I'm on a budget. I believe this is an affordable destination that I'm going to get value out of, right? So that's the old school awareness thing.
Yeah. But and I'm asking you today, like in the new decision making, in the way people are making their decisions, how do you make that decision? How are people right
Well,
now
it's flipped,
deciding?
right? So now it's flipped, because it used to be it starts with me and all the exposure I've had to the destinations that are in my consideration set. Now I start with my circumstances, right? To use your word, I start with my either my preferences or my non-negotiables, and I put that into an LLM and have it tell me what my consideration set should be based on that.
Okay. And then, okay, if that's the case, if you start with circumstances, which wasn't necessarily where I was starting, but I like the wrinkle you're adding there, it's going to spit out a list of destinations that either meet your criteria or circumstances that you put into AI, correct?
Yeah, preferences, circumstances, whatever it is, right? Oh,
And
I'm
what
traveling in June.
decides?
I have this budget, whatever it is.
Yeah, so at that point, the destinations that are the result of that search are going to be either destinations you're familiar with or destinations that you're not familiar with. But the one you're going to choose has gotten your attention already because you trust it. Like you've already seen it, it's gotten your attention, and you trust that it's going to be a good experience for you and your family. So because the circumstances or the criteria are correct, you're going to choose that destination. See, this months of research process that used to exist, I think that's going to be pared down significantly.
What the research is going to be refocused is what I would say. Like, we're not going to have to spend as much time on the areas that we had to spend time on, right? There's certain things that are short-circuited, but I guess where it still breaks down for me is I can control and influence trust through my communication strategy, right? I can control and I can influence awareness or attention. I don't understand what you're saying. What's prescriptive about what you're saying in the formula when it comes to circumstances? What do I do about that?
Yeah, so that's my prescription is that you have to focus so much of the effort on attention and trust because the third component of the equation, you don't get to control. And so people aren't going to take action unless the other three have lined up. And what I'm saying is we are measuring right now in the space so many things that say we have control over something we don't have control over. And I think we're spending so much money and time and effort and energy on the final components so that we can say we influenced that visit. But if we actually focus on attention and trust, and all of our efforts are centered around that, the rest will take care of itself. And we are losing inspiration for the sake of conversion metrics that might just be correlation.
Yeah, I still struggle with it as a formula. And maybe
Sure.
that's because I'm thinking about it too literally, I'm a recovering physicist, so maybe I'm thinking about it too literally, but I'd like you to continue to just for my own
Sure.
gratification, I'd like you to continue to refine it because I still feel like it's like, okay, what are we trying to communicate to DMOs, right? Part of this show is helping DMOs be a better tomorrow than they were today. And so I don't know that as a DMO, I'm sitting here saying, okay, I understand I'm working on two of these things. The other thing is something that exists and I'm going to hope for. Like and this just occurred to me, maybe it's, hey, knowing that circumstance is such a major factor in the decision making, maybe that's where I focus in making sure I'm reducing friction and catering to the circumstances. So maybe my content strategy is an example. Gets a little more granular, which I think it should do, but I don't know that's the intent of your formula. But we should be writing about why it's great to come to Myrtle Beach in June, or why it's good, or how you can have a great time in Myrtle Beach on a budget, and really thinking about all of the variables in the circumstance, and making sure we're catering our messaging and our communications to that, to cater to each individual, and reducing friction in the ability to find that information.
Well, for me, nothing's ever done. And so I'll continue to workshop it and try to evolve it and get to, I don't know, where, again, as soon as I think it's done, I'm going to continue to try to evolve it from there anyway. But from what I'm looking at today, I feel like budget and effort-wise, we're going to get a lot farther focusing on getting attention and building trust than we will on
Agree.
where we're spending the majority of our time today.
I agree with it. 100% agree with that. So I still feel like that circumstance is a bit of a red herring, unless you're saying, again, precision of targeting of the message through the data piece, like understanding where someone is, having that conversation with an individual about where they are in their traveler journey and what their circumstances are, and catering to those. So that's more like personalization. That's more individualization is what I would call that.
I'll keep working on that one. I'm now debating whether because of what it did to your perception of it, I'm now debating removing circumstances again and going back to attention plus trust equals action. But anyway, we don't have to spend another 20 minutes on that one today.
And maybe it's not it equals action, but maybe it maximizes your potential for, them to actually behave in a manner that's optimal for you. But yeah, we probably spent way too much time on this one, but I'm trying. I think you're close. It just doesn't quite connect. I'd love to hear
Fair
our
enough.
audience chime in on this one
Yeah,
too.
somebody
Did they
fill in this
agree or
equation for
disagree?
me. So, somebody tell me what X equals.
Where's Matt Damon when you need him, right? Goodwill Hunting? No?
It's been too long. It's been too long. Now I get it, but yeah, it's just not top of mind for me.
All right. Well, we spent half the episode talking about the first one, so let's go through the rest.
I think the next one, we've talked a lot about first principles thinking on this show. And I think the next one, and we've talked about this on several episodes, is that you need to optimize for true relevance, not the illusion thereof. And I think so many of us have gotten so caught up in putting together the web traffic numbers and the vanity metrics so that we can present to our board and give the illusion that we're being effective. And that I don't think that's even intentional. I think it's the way the incentives have lined up and set it up. But sooner or later, what's going to happen is people are going to start asking the question, you're saying that everything is working and everything's going great. Why aren't we seeing increased visitation? And I think the job of every destination marketer at this point is to go back and say, wait a second, why do we exist? What's the purpose of our existence? And if the purpose of our existence is to build a vibrant travel economy for the destination that we serve, We can show all the KPIs we want, but if that's not what we're accomplishing, if that's not what we're achieving, the house of cards is going to fall apart. We're not achieving what we actually are set out to do. And so I really believe that everybody needs to take a step back. What does true relevance mean for you and your community? And I actually think it's different for different DMOs too. Like, what does the community need from you? And are you delivering that? And if so, great. And if not, make the necessary changes. Give up on some of these KPIs that make everybody feel good, but don't indicate true relevance, and redo whatever it is you need to redo in order to get back on track.
Yeah, this one I agree with 100%. I think we're in a unique opportunity here at Visit Myrtle Beach because we just recently went through this restructuring, right? We sort of separating, decoupling our chamber and our CVB, and that's when I went from CMO to president of Visit Myrtle Beach. And what we're also doing is creating advisory boards for each division. We're still going to have a governing oversight board, but we're going to have a dedicated Visit Myrtle Beach advisory board, and we've expanded it, and we've expanded it to include elected officials, which we've never done before. They're going to be ex officio initially, meaning non-voting members. But we've gone from a 12-person sort of steering committee, what we used to call our marketing council, to now a 30-person board with more authority. And it's a great opportunity for us to sort of rethink what our role and our responsibility is, and also what our relationship is with our board and with our stakeholders. And so we're having this conversation in real time. And what's really interesting, we're even actually having a conversation similar to the one we had on our show a couple of months ago, which is who is our customer? Who is actually our customer? Is it, when we're out, you were in Myrtle Beach, we had this conversation, you put me on the spot and asked me to rank them. And, we're wrestling with that internally. And we've talked to probably a dozen different stakeholders at this point. No two of them agree on who our audience is or who our customer is. And so it's really healthy. But what our plan is to redefine this year and say, what do you need to see from us? What do you not? And let's be really honest, because we've been guilty, admittedly, of cherry picking and showing people the amazing work we're doing and the results from that. And the criticism that I'm unveiling as I talk to some of these people is they see it as we're justifying our existence, right? We're showing them the things that make them feel like we're working hard, but that's not what they care about. They trust that we're working hard. They want to know what the situation really is and what we're doing about it. Because even if you look at KPIs like occupancy or, number of visitors, we influence that, but we really don't have complete control over that. Like economic and market forces have way bigger influence on that than we do. If there's 18 million people a year come to Myrtle Beach or whatever your destination is, if it's 1 million, it doesn't matter. What percentage of that are you really influencing? And so, and what is, like, I'll give you an example, Canadian travelers this year, right? I could have had any goal I wanted to in terms of growing Canadian travelers, and I would never have had any chance of hitting it because of what happened geopolitically and economically in Canada, right? And so does it matter the absolute number, or does it matter that I'm out competing my competition? So does things like market share or share of voice, are those more important? Because that's what I'm actually influencing. That's where I'm actually able to move the needle. Now, I still need to look at what my total visitor count from Canada is, but I shouldn't be beholden of success or failure based on that absolute number if there's market conditions that are out of my control.
I mean, the question is, what does the community value? And we need to be re reporting on outcomes specifically to what the community values. I mean, I think there's an argument to be made that a community that's evaluating a DMO's performance should say, well, what's the national travel increase or decrease? And did you outperform that by the desired percentage of so basically, are we outperforming what's happening regardless of you, right? Like that's the metric that I would probably look at if I was on a board. But I think at the individual level, this is really easy to understand. Because at the individual level, if I hire you, Stuart Butler, to achieve a specific outcome, maybe you're a salesperson and I say, I need to grow our revenue by 10% this year. At the end of the year, when I say, did you achieve your outcome? And you say, I made 400 phone calls. I built 270 proposals. I did this, this, and this. And we increased sales by 3%. Well, no, you didn't achieve your outcome. That's the answer, right? So at the individual level, I think we understand that. At the organizational level, we need to actually figure out what relevance is to the community, and we need to report on that outcome every year. And I've seen very, very little of that because we're so caught up in a lot of these KPIs that aren't truly KPIs.
Well, it comes back to that thing we talk about a lot on the show, which is our aversion to risk, right? And we know how precarious our funding is. We know how there's always threats, and so there's a reluctance to have honest, earnest conversations about some of this stuff because it does expose a vulnerable underbelly. Is you know we yes we influence travel, but we probably don't influence travel to the degree that we would like to think we do, right? And
Yep.
so, what is the incrementality of the efforts we do? And that I think that's why we as the DMO, as Myrtle Beach and others, see us beyond just driving visitation. We are more the stewards or that operating system that I've talked about before, which is a little problematic, but we're providing more value beyond just the visitation numbers, right? We're
Yep.
providing resources and value beyond that. So no, I agree with this one a lot. I think it's going to take a lot of bravery, and there's obviously risk in that, but I think we are committed to that here in Myrtle Beach to invite our board and our stakeholders to be a part of that conversation and start from first principles and say, why do we exist? Who do we serve? What is our objective? And what are the KPIs we can use along the way to make sure we're moving in the right direction, you know? And it's not one
Yeah.
dimensional. There'll probably be layers of that. So we're having that conversation now. So it's going to be interesting. I can report back over the next months, like how that's going, but we're committed to it.
Cool.
What's
You
the
want the
next
next
one?
one? So, first of all, the next one only matters if you've identified first what true relevance is. And so, if you haven't identified true relevance, my next resolution here isn't going to make sense. And so the third one is that you need to make stakeholder engagement a marketing pillar. And the reason I say it only works if you've actually figured out what true relevance is, because if you start ramping up your communication about the value you're bringing to the destination, but you haven't done it from first principles and you're throwing a bunch of false KPIs out there, you're actually exacerbating the problem. You're not making it any better. But so many destinations are doing incredible work and do a very poor job of actually articulating to the community what that work is and what the outcomes are. So what I would actually do is at the beginning of the year, which I've seen Visit Lake Charles actually just shared, they built a video right, that they just released a few days ago of what their annual marketing objectives are. And they released that to the community. And Timothy Bush shared it on his Instagram. I thought it was really, really great. But I would
That's a name. We
release.
should get Timothy on the show. He's great. Big
Yeah,
fan
we
of
got to
his.
get Timothy on here. He's been on my other show a couple times. So yeah, it would be great to get him here. But I would release something like that, and then I would have an active integrated marketing campaign to my stakeholders, residents, business stakeholders, and political stakeholders throughout the year, reporting on our progress to the outcomes that we promised to achieve at the beginning of the year. And that is in the form of paid, earned, owned, and shared media. And I would have, like I said, an integrated marketing strategy for stakeholders, just like I do for potential visitors. And every destination needs that because funding is going to continue to be scrutinized. And I think a big part of it is people don't understand the value we're bringing to the community. So if you've figured out true relevance and what true relevance is going to be, report on that consistently, intentionally, and make stakeholder engagement a marketing pillar.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't know that most DMOs are probably going to be able to do it with paid media, but I certainly think anything non-paid, it should be a part of that communication strategy to make sure they're talking to this audience with the right messaging. But you're right, it starts with alignment, making sure that we set the ground rules and we set the nomenclature and we've got the right focus that they want to hear, because you can make the situation worse by keep hitting a drumbeat that's making people's eyes roll, right? If you've got a
Yeah.
KPI you hang your hat on that's a vanity metric or something that's really not believable, then people, you're going to actually do more harm than good. So, no, I agree. I like this is another one I agree with, Adam. I think you're one, 2 for 1 so far. That's a good one.
2 for 3.
Two for three. Yeah, 2 for 1. That would make
I
no
want to
sense.
speak to something you said though, because with paid media, I agree with you. But this is where the lines are becoming more and more blurred between paid, earned, shared, and owned media. And it's critical for destinations to put a little creativity behind paid media strategy locally. That can be done through, for example, collaborative content with someone else in the community. A lot of high school sponsorships can be done through as a nonprofit donation as opposed to structured as a paid media buy. You can arrange it differently there. I think there's also when you're buying with, let's say, a radio group, you buy out of market and also try to get visitors, but then you agree with that radio buy to have in-kind in-market
Yeah,
advertising
you
as well.
negotiate the pro bono stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think a
Yeah.
lot of it, yes, you can't directly, for some destinations, you can't directly put paid media into the marketplace. But if you're truly being intentional about making stakeholder engagement a marketing pillar, you will find creative ways to do that.
Yeah. And what we've also found, there's some media partners locally that value the tourism community, value what we're doing, especially if you put those people on your board. They will treat it more like a PSA than anything else, right? And
Yep.
there's other ways you can do it that's more organic, right? You can talk to your local radio and TV stations about just having a regular appearance on their show that's not a paid thing, where you're willing to let them ask you some of the tougher questions too. So it's, there's value for both. Like
Yep.
we've done that a lot more aggressively. Like just this recently, like Christmas Eve, I was recording with our local radio station, doing just a little sort of look ahead of what the year is holds for us. So I agree. I think it needs to, we're probably distracting people from the focus, right? The paid
Yeah.
media thing is, you're right, there's probably scrappy ways to do it, but the important part is that you have a deliberate strategy, right? And that you're aligned with that. And it starts with the messaging. So, all right,
100%.
2, 2, 4, 3. That's correct this time.
The next one for me, and I think this one for those that have listened to me for a long time, this should surprise you that this is one of them because I think I built my brand on convincing destinations to create more owned media, but I've also built my brand on telling the truth regardless of how it affects me or anybody else. And to me, I'm looking at what's happening right now in the media landscape. And AI is valuing, LLMs are valuing earned media higher than any other form of media at the moment. And that may change, but for now, earned media is the best way to show up in the LLMs beyond doing the basic schema updates to your website and things like that that you need to do. And because of that, while I still I value owned media an incredible amount, I think earned media strategy has to be a priority for every destination that wants to be relevant in the LLMs that people are going to be using to plan their trips. And also, earned media just gets you great value outside of that, but it moved its way up the ladder for me when I saw how LLMs are valuing earned media compared to the other forms of media, because now you get dual value, right? You get the reach of having someone else tell your story, but then you also show up higher in the results for LLMs. I think earned media needs to be moved up the priority ladder for most destinations in 2026.
Yeah, you're 3 for 4. I agree with this one too. It comes back to trust, right? Which is part of your formula. If you go back to the early SEO days, it wasn't until PageRank came out that we really had something similar to this. And what PageRank was, the search engines at the time, they could discern the content, the semantics of the content you wrote, but they didn't have a way to really discern the quality. What they n now look at with the EEAT, right? They didn't have a way to really say, is this great content that's going to be the right fit? And so they first started with just backlinks, right? And it was like, how many people linked to you was a sign of, let's call them votes. And then they expanded it from how many people linked to you to who was it that linked to you. So like if a Yahoo News linked to you, it was more valuable than if Adam's blog link to you. And so they developed this PageRank, which was an evolution of that. And to me, it seems like the data suggests that references from third parties, especially more authoritative third parties, seems to be something that the LLMs are valuing, similar to how Google does its PageRank, right? It's very similar. They don't have to link to you, right? Like in the old days, it's just, are people citing you, and are they talking about you? And so how do we influence this, right? That's the real question. And so one is what it always is is your focus determines your reality. I've quoted Qui-Gon Jinn many times on this show, but you've got to put energy into the things that you want. So one, increase your budget on earned media and make sure you're thinking about it. But two, and look at the reality of today. So most media outlets are wafer thin in terms of resources, right? Especially if I look at my local media here, right? It's very young journalists, very inexperienced journalists, want to do a good job, but they're super thin. Like it's literally like it used to be when we did an interview, and this isn't that long ago, when we did an interview for a TV station, there'd be two or three people that would come from the TV station. Now it's like a 21-year-old journalist with a camera that they're setting up on a tripod, and they're not just shooting it, they're asking the questions, they're writing the story, da, 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 right? It's a lot of work. I feel really bad for them. But there's a massive opportunity in that. And that is because they're stretched thin, we can help them by doing some of the work for them. And so this is sort of giving a little bit of our secret sauce away. But what we found with journalists is, rather than us sending out press releases, which they get a ton of press releases and it's not interesting, one, you've got to build the relationships with them, right? And make sure they're paying attention to you. But two, we send out pitches and we'll send out a list at a time. We'll be like, hey, here's five interesting things going on. And here are some angles you could potentially look at this. And so what we're doing is we're throwing a lot of threads at them. We're not baking them out. It's not in a full fleshed out press release with all the talking points. It's like, hey, here's some interesting stuff that your audience might like. Are there any threads you want to pull on this? And then they sort of have some control. And then once they pull a thread, then we give them everything. We
I
give
like
them
that.
all the things they need. And I tell you, our hit rate on that is so much higher. Like, because press releases, they're getting a ton and it's baked out and it's not interesting. They're not going to stand out to their boss, So that's the one thing we're doing that's been
I
really
like that.
effective, both
I
with
like that a
local
lot.
media and externally too.
I like that because everybody likes to feel like their work is challenging them, stretching them, helping them progress personally, and sending somebody a fully baked press release. It's literally like you read it, you submit it, and that's not challenging anybody. Nobody loves being the reader of press releases, right? So I think giving them the opportunity to be strategic in their role actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Cool, man. We got any more? Is that all of them?
I have a couple more, but I'm going to skip to just the one that I think is the most important of everything that I've said is, and this applies at the personal level and at the organizational level. We've built so much value over the years in what people do that a lot of, and we actually touched on this a little bit in another episode that we recorded recently that's going to go out after this. So more information to come on this, but we're losing the forest
We're
for
the
the trees.
memento of podcasts. We're sort of doing things in reverse chronological order. You seen that movie, Guy Pearce? It's
I
amazing.
haven't watched that movie. I'm sorry.
Dude, okay. I'm going to stop dropping the movie references. You have to watch that movie. It is phenomenal.
Okay, I will.
Yeah.
I'll watch it. Memento.
Memento. Yeah.
I've seen the previews for it and stuff, just never got around to it. So I'll watch it.
It's great.
But I feel like so many people have kind of lost the forest for the trees. And we've gotten so siloed into different roles and stuff. It's all about what you do, what platform knowledge you have, or what specific writing knowledge you have, or maybe you're a social media specialist or something like that. A lot of the like actual application or tactical execution stuff is going to be commoditized by AI. So every single person out there needs to move from a tactician to a strategist. And every organization needs to move from a tactical organization to a strategy-based organization. And so if I was going to simplify this for anybody that's listening, if you're getting paid for what you do, not how you think, you are in the wrong mode right now. Like you need to make a change and demonstrate your capability to think, because the doing is going to be commoditized. And the doing, I don't even mean like AI is going to be able to take care of some of it. AI agents will be able to perform most marketing tasks, in my opinion. The ability will come in the next 24 months, and the adoption will come in the next 5 years. And I believe that marketers have got to be valued for how they think, not what they do. And if your value is limited to what you do, you are in for a rough several years. And I think it's really time for everybody to level up their strategic thinking and focus there. Focus your development on first principles and strategic thinking, and you'll move from tactician to strategist.
Yeah, I like this one a lot too. I think it's something you've mentioned a handful of times on this show, and I know you've realigned your internal team to be more like this. I wrote a blog, and this is probably, I don't know, 18, 19 years ago now. I was probably 2 years
They
into,
had
yeah. Well, it was an article on our website, and let's call it a blog.
blogs?
I was a couple of years into my managerial career, and I'd noticed a pattern on in terms of successful and unsuccessful employees, right? And I'd hired a handful by this time, and there was a pattern. And it wasn't about people's experience or knowledge at all, right? It wasn't about their resume. It was about what I call scrappiness, and I've used that term a lot on this show. But I just sort of see it as it's a myriad of things, but at the end of the day, it's someone that's solutions minded and has a can-do attitude and is willing to figure it out and willing to be uncomfortable trying to figure it out. Like I sort of see it as, if you look at the dictionary definition of scrappy, it has a couple of meanings, right? One is made up of parts like scraps, and the other is like more feisty. Think like Scrappy-Doo from Scooby-Doo. I'm sure you get that reference if you didn't get my other references.
I do get this is when I get.
Right. And so it's sort of an amalgamation of those, right? It's someone that is willing to be sort of in multiple things, but also they have a little bit of a willingness to be a little, whether it's cocky, arrogant, confident, whatever you want to call it, but willingness to go figure something out, right? So can you go do this for me? Well, I've never done it before, but let me go figure it out, versus someone that's just like, I don't know how to do that, right? So scrappiness for me is the single indicator of whether or not someone's going to be successful, at least in the teams that I've
Yeah.
led, right? Because we're pretty demanding. And I've always said to our team, I want you to be 60% uncomfortable all the time. Like 40% of what you do should be you're comfortable with, you've done it before, but 60% of what you're doing should be stretching you and new. And I think it's probably more than 60% today, and I think it's going
Yep.
to accelerate, right? And so how do we prime the team? Well, one, I think you've got to create an environment of trust internally. I think you've got to make sure everyone knows you're never going to get mad if people make mistakes, right? Unless they make the same mistake repeatedly.
Yep,
Right?
that's
But
my
if someone
caveat.
makes a mistake, don't ever get angry at them. Don't chastise them. Let's have a conversation about what led to that mistake. How do we get here, and what can we do to mitigate it to make sure it never happens again, right? I think that's important. So encouraging, not encouraging mistakes, but allowing for them and understanding they are going to happen, especially when you're moving at a good pace and that you're doing things that you haven't done before. And making sure the mistakes that can be made aren't going to put you out of business. You know, they're not mistakes
Yeah.
that happen in front of the board or things like that. But two, I think you've got to make collaboration a priority. You've got to make sure that the whole team, one, understands what the mission is and what their role is in it, but that they also understand what other people's role is in it, so they can pitch in and help out. Because I think one of the things I really value with our team is if there's a problem or an opportunity or a focus that's happening right now, there are people from other departments or different roles within our organization that just volunteer to help out. They're not asked to, they're not told to, they just see that there's an opportunity or a need and they jump in. And so I think we're all going to have to be like that. And I think flexibility is going to be increasingly important because we don't really know. I think your timeline might be right. It might be 24 months before the technology exists, but it is going to be longer, maybe 5 years before the adoption, especially in our industry. But yeah, we've got to build teams that are flexible and that are scrappy. Because if we don't, man, we are in for a world of hurt. We're going to get beaten by those that are.
Yeah. And we got to be problem solvers, right? Like it actually gets, you can really simplify it there. Do you understand how to solve a problem even if you've never had to solve it before? And you can identify pretty quickly if someone has that ability. And if you don't have that ability, you got to develop it.
And you got to embrace it and enjoy it, right? Some people see a problem and it's a negative, right? It's a painful for some people. For people like me and you, I think I love solving a problem. It's one of my favorite things to do in the world. I mean, I will spend every night before I go to bed, I'll do Sudoku. Like, that's how I go to sleep, is doing Sudokus, because it's not that challenging. It doesn't take a lot of brain power, but it's solving a problem, and it puts my brain to sleep and starts me thinking about other stuff. But if you've everyone's got to be a problem solver. Solutions minded, can do attitude are what we all should value more than anything else in the 2026 and beyond.
I want to touch on one other thing you said, and then I'll wrap pretty quickly. And that's just that you said, like, we should seek out mistakes because I agree with that because I really feel like success doesn't really teach anybody anything. I actually think success is a pretty bad teacher because
It
success allows.
teaches, yeah, laziness sometimes, right? People get
Yeah.
complacent if they're successful.
Well, it allows you to attribute your success to possibly the wrong thing, and then you try to repeat it and it doesn't work. Failure is an incredible teacher because you know you screwed up, you know what you did a lot wrong, and you can eliminate that from what you do next time, right? And so I think we should seek failure, and I'm a pro, by the way, at failure. But I think we should seek it out.
I'm not even going to comment. I'm not even going to bite on that one.
That was I hung it out there for you. If you seek out failure, though, you're going to learn faster than anybody else. And I really believe that that's a good opportunity for anybody. If you haven't failed in a long time, you're playing it too safe.
And there's a really good book. I forget the name of the book, but there's a book about it might be called The Five Whys. It may not be, but there's a book about Toyota, right? They implemented the five whys. Like, when a problem happens, they go five levels deep and ask, well, why did this happen? Well, why did that
It
happen?
is the
Well,
five
why?
whys.
Right. And so it's a really good methodology to try to unravel, because usually the failure is a symptom of something that happened way before. And I'm going to say, for the record, you quoted Master Yoda without realizing you quoted Master Yoda, because he does actually say that failure is the greatest teacher. Or in his words, he says, the
No, he
greatest
says
teacher
the
failure
greatest
is.
teacher failure is.
Yes.
Oh, good times.
Yeah, man. So is that all your stuff? Is that
That's
all the
it.
things?
I had a couple other things that I talked about on the episode, but honestly, those are the key ones that I really want destinations to think about and implement for 2026.
That's great. And you have an opportunity now to shamelessly plug your other podcast if they want to go listen to the other ones.
Yeah, go check out the Destination Marketing Podcast. It's the first episode of 2026 that released this year, and I think it'll provide a lot of value to everybody. I was definitely out of breath at the end of it.
Because you were running while you were doing it, or
I didn't take a
you out of
breath
shape, or
for the
you didn't
entire
take one
50
breath?
minutes. Nope, not a
That
single
might be
one.
some new record. I know, like, Tom Cruise can hold his breath for like 6 minutes, but that's pretty impressive to do it for
I
a
do
full
my own
hour.
stunts too.
Really? I always thought there was a stunt double on this that took all the punches that I throw at you during this show. But
I don't have
you've
the
been
budget.
taking them. You don't have the budget. That's funny. Well, what a good start to the new year, Adam. It's been a pleasure listening to you pontificate on what's going to happen. You know, we got an episode coming up, which I'm really excited about, where we asked our desties to share with us
Yes.
what their predictions are for the 2026. I'm not sure if that'll be next episode or the one after, but we're going to be pushing that out. And I got to tell you, there's some way smarter people in our audience than hosting the show. There's some really good ones coming up on that.
We're spending a lot of time on looking forward into 2026, right? We did your episode, we did this episode, and we're going to do our Desties episode. But I just think it's so critical to get it right in 2026. And I really hope that with these three episodes that we're putting together and the other ones that we're doing, we can help everybody have a really great year. My desire for everybody that's listening is to just have an incredible 2026.
Yeah, great. Well said. I mean, this is definitely the year where everything is changing, right? Or at least it's beginning to. And so now's the time to plant that tree, right? We've got to plant the seeds for the trees of the future today. And so hopefully this is going to help you. And if it is helping you, number one, leave a review. Number two, share it with a friend and like and all that fun stuff. And come on the show and tell us about it. Tell us your views on some of the stuff we've been talking about. If you've solved the equation that is clearly needs solving, if Matt Damon is listening out there, We'd love to have you on the show. So you can reach out to me, stuart.butler@visitmaltabeach.com or on LinkedIn. Did I crack you up there,
Did you
Adam?
just invite Matt Damon to be a guest on our
Yeah.
show?
Well, there are other shows out there, Jimmy Kimmel, that way he's not
Yeah.
allowed. So we're going to do the opposite. We're going to
Matt
invite Matt Damon
Damon,
every
Tom
episode.
Cruise, you know, any of you
Yeah.
celebrities out
Well,
there that want to come on
Matt Damon for
Destination
sure.
Discourse.
Can that be my? I can be the anti Jimmy Kimmel. So we're just going to invite Matt Damon to the show every week instead of saying we ran out of time.
I
That'd be
like
great.
it. Let's do
Adam,
it.
if they want to reach you, where can they do that? If Matt
Adam at
Damon
the
wants to
brand.
reach you, where can you do it?
Yeah. Hey, Matt. Adam at thebrandrevolt.com. Find me on LinkedIn or, of course, on Tourism IQ.
Guys, thank you for listening. Happy New Year. May you have a successful 2026. And until next time, this has been Destination Discourse.
Thanks, everybody. I always
We're a
like
little
it.
more silly goosey on this one.
That's all right.